For decades, they were the site for first dates, family celebrations, and a destination for something sweet and cool on a hot summer day. This hour, Iowa soda fountains, past and present. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, we'll take a walk down memory lane and reminisce about soda fountains in Iowa, starting with Sutter Drug in Burlington. Jane Sutter Brandt has just published Sutter's Sodas Satisfy, a memoir of 90 years of Sutter Drug Company. We'll also talk about a couple of towns that are keeping the past alive. I'll talk with Ross Blunt of the Old Time Soda Fountain in Allerton and Annie Van Houten of George J. Drug in Shenandoah. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. There was a time when almost every town of any size in Iowa had a drugstore, and almost every drugstore had a soda fountain. This hour, we'll take a walk down memory lane and reminisce about soda fountains in Iowa. And we'd love to hear your memories this hour as well. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And my first guest today has just published a new memoir. It's called Sutter's Sodas Satisfy, a memoir of 90 years of Sutter Drug Company in Burlington, Iowa. Jane Sutter Brandt is here with me today. Hello, Jane.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
And now this soda fountain is no longer in business, but it was very, very popular for many years in Burlington. Your great-grandfather opened his drugstore. When did he open that?
Well, he bought an existing drugstore in 1902 and then over time added various locations. But the soda fountain that most people remember was located in what I call the flagship store starting in 1930, and that was on the corner of Jefferson and 3rd Streets right in downtown Burlington.
And now, for people who don't know, I mean, opening a drugstore is one thing. Why are drugstores even associated with soda fountains?
Well, I think there were two reasons. One was a soda fountain was an apparatus that infused water with carbon dioxide. So the carbon dioxide made the water fizzy, and then the soda water was supposed to be kind of a digestive aid, like a weak bromo seltzer. So people would naturally come to a pharmacy to feel better, and so selling a soda water, made a lot of sense. And then it became a gathering spot for people. And so, you know, druggists were smart marketers like my great-grandfather, so they saw this as an opportunity to get more people to come into their drugstore and not just buy drink and food, but also to buy their pharmaceuticals and other sundries.
Now, being a pharmacist sort of became a family business in your family, but when your great-grandfather became a pharmacist, you didn't just go to pharmacy school, right?
No. In fact, my great-grandfather was an apprentice at another drugstore in town. He started out as a delivery boy at age 15, and I guess he did a good job because they ended up making him an apprentice, and so he learned his trade that way and was a pharmacist for them for a number of years until he was in his mid to late 20s and then bought this pharmacy and started his own business.
And then your grandfather also became a pharmacist?
Yes. My grandfather, Ray, attended the University of Iowa and became a pharmacist, and so did his three sons, my father, Joe, and my uncles, Bill and David.
And all of this time, not only were they pharmacists, but the pharmacy stayed in the family and all of the different stores. How many locations were there at its peak?
At its peak, they actually had five locations, four within blocks of each other, downtown Burlington, and then one in West Burlington.
Wow.
Yes.
Which really, it demonstrates how different our lives were, that these businesses could thrive in such close proximity to each other. Having a pharmacy close by was really important to people.
Right. And the other thing was, as I learned from doing my family research, is that different stores had different specialties. There was one store that sold Kodak cameras and did the Kodak film processing. Another store in the 1920s, my great uncle, who did not become a pharmacist, he was one of the business managers for the store. He was known for selling phonographs and record albums from a French company called Pathé.
So they all had to find a way to differentiate their store.
Right, absolutely. And one other thing that Sutter drugstores were known for were the fitting of trusses, which were like a girdle for men. Back then, they didn't have hernia surgery. And so men who were laborers, they would get these horrible hernias, and they would come in. And my great-grandfather was known for being wonderful at fitting a truss for a man, so they actually had a separate room in the flagship store, even up until the time that store closed in 1981, that was called the Truss Room, where men would come in, and my grandfather, my father, my great-grandfather, when he was still alive, would fit these men with these girdles.
Now, looking through your book, you included so many pictures and newspaper articles, so many memories. It's really an incredible collection of pictures. How is it possible that somebody had the foresight to save all of these things for so many years?
Well, I have to give a lot of credit to my great aunt, Ursula Sutter Schutze. She was the daughter, one of the daughters of my great-grandfather. And she kept this wonderful scrapbook of old photos and newspaper clippings. And the scrapbook is literally falling apart. Black pages, she wrote on it in white ink. And my dad ended up getting the scrapbook when my aunt became elderly. And then I looked through it and I said, you know, someday we ought to do a book on this, and finally found the time this past year to put it all together. But I owe a lot of credit to my great aunt for having the foresight to do this.
And when you decided to put it together, was it your intention to publish a book, or was this just something you wanted to do for your family?
It absolutely started out just as something that I wanted to do for my family. But I, in talking to some people, I live in Rochester, New York, and in going home to Burlington last summer and talking to some local historians and history buffs about my intentions, they said, oh, I think a lot of people would be interested in reading that. And then the other thing that happened was there's a Facebook page called Pictures of Burlington, Iowa, where people post all kinds of photos, both current and old photos. And once in a while, I started posting an old photo from Sutter's, and I would get 300 likes. I would get dozens and dozens of comments, and most of the people were commenting about visiting the soda fountain. So I said, hey, there's a great opportunity here. I would love to share this history with others. And so I ended up doing a full-blown book.
Now, looking at the pictures of the soda fountain, especially the one from the flagship store, it was opened, I think the soda fountain part was opened in 1930?
Correct.
And what an incredible room. I mean, this is
yes.
A really big restaurant.
Right, absolutely. In those days, the soda fountain, it was touted in the Burlington Gazette as being the first of its kind installed in the country, and it was 32 feet long. And in addition to having all the stools, they also had cafe tables, and eventually even added booths. Sometimes in the 1930s, so that took up about half of the store's floor space. Up until 1949, when the store did another major remodel and just then went with an updated soda fountain with the stools.
So what was the menu like at the soda fountain? Now, obviously, we're talking about much more than just fizzy drinks.
Right, right. The menu is a lot of fun to take a look at. I have one from the 1930s, and in addition to all kinds of different ice cream sodas, they also served sandwiches. So you could get a tuna fish sandwich for a dime. You could get pineapple and cottage cheese for 15 cents. You could get a cold plate that was assorted meats, potato salad, Jell-O, and bread and butter for a quarter. And then there were all kinds of different, what they called fancy sundaes that they also served. So it was, as you said, it was like a small restaurant.
And in sharing these memories with people, sharing these pictures with people, what do people tell you about the soda fountain? What kind of role did it play in people's lives?
Well, even up to the time when I worked at the soda fountain in the 70s, when I was in high school, it was definitely a regular gathering spot for people. There were local businessmen who would come in every morning, say around 10 a.m., and, you know, they ran different stores, or maybe they were lawyers. They would come in, and they would meet and have a little coffee break together. And one group that I remember, they used to always flip a coin to decide who was going to pay for the coffee that day. And there was another group of women who Schramm's department store was a very well-known big department store across the street, and the female sales clerks would come in before their shift started at 9 o'clock, and they would have their coffee. And, you know, during the on the weekends and Friday nights, Saturday nights, downtown Burlington was hopping. There were at least two movie theaters, and my great-grandfather installed a special window to sell popcorn out of the window and sodas, in addition to people coming in for ice cream sodas after the picture show.
Now, that big soda fountain, as we said, was opened in 1930. How did the family business weather the Depression?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I couldn't find a whole lot in the family records about the Depression. I mean, when the flagship store closed in 1930,
the flagship store closed in...
The flagship store opened in 1930, my great-grandfather did consolidate a couple of the downtown stores. So I think that was probably a couple of factors. One was recognizing he was opening this big store, so he didn't need, you know, four small stores right then. So that was part of it. But also I noticed in an article that was published in the 30s, he did say that, you know, the Depression had affected, you know, their ability to get certain goods, et cetera, but that they were just weathering it the best that they could. They were trying to keep their prices as low as possible, and they were working longer hours than they used to. But he seemed to have come out of it fine.
So I guess it was something that people needed, but it looks like such a luxurious location, that flagship store.
Well, it was right in the heart of downtown. Jefferson Street was a long boulevard that had a lot of different stores on it. So it was a natural spot for, you know, people to gather.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Jane Sutter Brandt, and we're talking about her family's soda fountain. She's just published the book Sutter's Sodas Satisfy, a memoir of 90 years of Sutter Drug Company. We'll talk about other soda fountains around the state as well. We'd love to hear your memories about your favorite soda fountain also. Give us a call. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about soda fountains in Iowa. We've started the hour with a soda fountain that is no longer in business. The flagship store for Sutter Drug Company in Burlington closed in 1981. But Jane Sutter Brandt has just published Sutter's Sodas Satisfy, a memoir of 90 years of Sutter Drug Company. And we'll also talk about a couple of different soda fountains that are still in operation in Iowa. I know there are many more than a couple. If you have a story to share about your favorite drug company, your favorite soda fountain when you were a kid, or maybe one that's still operating in your town, please join the conversation. 866-780-9100. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Jane, before the break, we were talking about how well your family's business managed to weather the Great Depression. There was a very serious fire that the business also survived. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. That happened in 1915, and This was in a building called the Tama Building that still exists in downtown Burlington. And at that time, a Sutter Drugstore was not in the corner location of the Tama Building, but on the street called Third Street. And what happened was this fire started for some unknown reason in the basement of the pharmacy. And it ended up being quite a catastrophic fire, but there were some 50 offices, doctor's offices, et cetera, in the building. And the owners at the time decided to rebuild it.
When you were a kid, how much time did you spend in the store when you were growing up?
Well, I remember one of my earliest memories is being very small and going in there with my mother and my older brother and sister and sitting at the soda fountain and my legs dangling from the stool and drinking a Coke out of a paper cup that was in a little aluminum holder. So, you know, it was a fun place. If we went downtown to go in and see my dad, he would be working back in the pharmacy. And then as we got older, as we became teenagers, all of us worked in the store. My older sister became a soda jerk and then a clerk working in the pharmacy. My older brother was a delivery boy and a stock boy. And then when I was 15, that summer between my freshman and sophomore year in high school, my dad came home and said, "Jane, one of the girls quit today at the soda fountain, and so now it's your turn." So I started working.
How did you feel when he said that?
I think I was probably a little nervous because, you know, it's one thing to, you know, go in there and have a Coke, and it's another thing to wait on customers. And my only business experience at that point, working experience, was babysitting little kids in the neighborhood.
But you had to know it was coming, right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And I was excited. And I remember, you know, I got there and, you know, started, and the women who worked there were all great and, you know, taught me how to make the tuna salad and how to make a chocolate soda and how to make a chocolate milkshake. And it was a fun job.
What are your favorite memories from actually working there?
Well, I always loved making the chocolate milkshakes. And, you know, if there was extra after you made one for somebody, you could pour it in a little cup for yourself and try and sip that. And just seeing and meeting all the different people who work downtown, the adults, and, you know, by and large, you know, once they found out that you were a Sutter, you know, they knew my dad, my grandfather, my uncle, et cetera, you know, they were always very friendly and, you know, kind. So it was a great experience.
When you started digging into this family history, I mean, obviously you had grown up with the store, you had worked at the store. When you started digging into the family history, were you surprised at all by what you learned?
Yes, I have to say, because, you know, for us growing up, owning drugstores was just something our family did. And my great-grandfather passed away in 1948, and I was born in 1958. So I only knew him as a big portrait of him that hung on the wall in the drugstore. And, you know, back then, people weren't really into family history and the genealogy like they are today. So when I started out deciding to do this book and I took the scrapbook and I really sat down and really read about my great-grandfather, I found out what a real mover and shaker he was and that he was written up in National Rexall Magazine and other magazines for his business practices.
Fascinating. Well, and again, this collection of pictures is really unbelievable. I love that your great aunt managed to save your great grandfather's certificate that he earned when he was licensed as a pharmacist. And what the date on that is something like 1893 or
correct.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. I know. It's a big document and it's yellowed. It looks like it's been through a lot. Torn. Stained.
Well, before we move on to the soda fountain in Allerton, and Jane, you're going to stay with us, but we have a caller on the line from Muscatine, Rose. Hello, Rose.
Hi.
Hi, and you have memories of going to Sutter's?
Oh, yes. I'm a little older than Jane. I was born in 54 and grew up in Burlington, and I remember going to Sutter's as part of little shopping trips to Schramm's. You mentioned Schramm's before. boy, was that an institution.
Yeah.
And going to Schramm's, at least in my family, was quite the deal. You knew that whatever you were going to get was going to be special. And usually we made a day of it. We would go to Schramm's and then either have lunch, you know, before or after. And lunch always consisted of a tuna salad sandwich and a cherry Coke.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's interesting that you say that, because I did a book signing at Burlington by the Book, which is a store right across the street from the where the flagship store was. And
yes.
A woman came in and said she used to go to the soda fountain every day for lunch and get tuna fish, a cherry Coke, and a bag of Sturzing's potato chips, which Sturzing's is another institution in Burlington.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And whenever I am in Burlington, I get orders from people, please pick up some Sturzing's potato chips.
Whenever I come home, I make sure I eat some Sturzing's when I'm home.
Oh, I don't miss them that much.
Well, Rose, thank you so much for calling and sharing your memories. And as I said, Jane, we're going to move on to a couple of soda fountains that are still in operation in Iowa. The big store, this giant soda fountain, closed in 1981. Why did it close?
Well, the store was just a victim of the changing times, and people's shopping patterns changed. A big mall was built out in West Burlington. More and more people were shopping an area a few miles away from downtown called Roosevelt Avenue. And the downtown, the city council, they tried to do what a lot of downtowns did, which was put in pedestrian malls. They did that in the 70s. And unfortunately, it just didn't work. And so my father recognized the business side of things and decided to close that store, but kept another smaller store over in the Roosevelt Avenue area going until 1993 when he retired.
All right. And how did you feel when that closed?
You know, I felt badly about it, primarily because none of my generation became pharmacists. I was never that wild about chemistry class and science classes, and was drawn to writing and became a journalist. And so I did feel sad that, you know, perhaps if one of my generation had become a pharmacist, then the store would have survived.
Well, stay with us, Jane. I'm talking with Jane Sutter Brand. She's written a memoir about her family's business, and it's called Sutter's Sodas Satisfy, a memoir of 90 years of Sutter Drug Company in Burlington, Iowa. If you have memories of Sutter's, you're welcome to join our conversation at 866-780-9100. I want to turn now to Allerton, Iowa. My next guest was part of an effort to save the soda fountain that was part of Rexall Drugs in Allerton. Ross Blunt is president of the board of a nonprofit that oversees what is now called the Old Time Soda Fountain in Allerton. Hello, Ross.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for asking me to be on.
Now, Ross, let's go back to when this nonprofit was formed. Tell me what was happening with the soda fountain in Allerton.
What was happening was the previous owner died, an auction company was received the property, and they were selling off everything. And it was a question of, well, what's going to happen to this important spot on Main Street here in Allerton. And so several of us got together. This was in 2008, and said, let's just do what we can to save this. Let's try to keep this. Very important landmark in Allerton to keep it here.
Now, of course,
back in 2008.
Right, a lot of towns just lost their soda fountains, Ross, and that's, you know, I guess that's part of the march of time. Why did you feel it was so important to Allerton to save it?
Well, I think that the experience of so many of the older folks that had come through Allerton, especially people that were in Allerton High School, Allerton School. We have a very strong alumni group, and it was is a lot of the alumni that really wanted to see this place saved, and they contributed liberally to help that to happen. So that was one of the important ones. I think it's just the fact that our town is gradually shutting down, but there are a number of important institutions that are still here, and we wanted this to be part of that.
So the soda fountain is still in operation, not year-round, though. Tell me what your schedule is.
What we do is to open, we open on Saturday night, and but it's also available for various kinds of activities, graduation parties, wedding receptions. Organizations can have their meetings in there. Sometimes there are businesses or governmental organizations that have their meetings in there. And then every fall, when we have our fall festival in the town, that's a big time when it's open too. So it's open for special events. The original purpose of this nonprofit is to provide a community center for family and youth, and also to have it as a historical record of what drugstores and especially the pharmacy side. What it looked like. One of the members of our group is a retired pharmacist who has donated just a huge amount of shelf materials of a past time. And he also had a pharmacy, one of those regular pharmacy counters in his possession, and he's donated that. So it's a very important kind of historical example that's been brought because of his interest and his knowledge. And
so it's a little bit of a museum, too.
Yes, it is. But it's a combination of both, community center and museum.
So was there any consideration to trying to operate it as a business, or was that just a non-starter?
Really. Yeah, that might be. That might be something that will come in the future. But the main thing was to preserve it and to make it available for a community center for special occasions, as well as, like I say, on this Saturday night once a week.
Right.
Yeah.
So how busy is it for special occasions? Do you get a lot of people who want to have parties or meetings there?
Yes, we do. We have quite a few, and gradually there are more and more. We have a connection with with the Inn of the Six-Toed Cat, which is a bed and breakfast here in Allerton, and many times they'll have groups come through that would like to go, and so we open up and do that too. But it's let's just say a masterpiece in process here, and we see that it's increasing, the use of it is increasing, and we're just open to trying to find ways of seeing that it get used to its fullest capability. And I'm hoping that one of the things that might come out of these conversations here on your program today is that we can find that there are other people that are doing the same thing, that we could kind of have a collaboration and help each other with this kind of a valuable hometown project.
When the soda fountain in the building was auctioned off, was all of the equipment and all of the glassware and all of that stuff, did that all come with it?
Well, when we bought this from the auction company, what they did, they came in and went through and got all of the, they just auctioned off all the small items and cleared the shelves. But the main things being the soda fountain and the stools that are there, and so those things were still in the building, and so that's what we bought. We bought that and the building.
So did
but everything else had been pretty well cleared out. But then, of course, they left all kinds of old pharmacy items and agricultural items that were just left, and we had a huge cleanup to start with.
I'm sure. And then did you have to actually purchase glassware so that you can be open on that Saturday night and serve people?
Yes. Some of that's been donated since. I think there was still some that was that came with the building there, but I think most of that's been donated, right?
And Are there any specialties that people remembered from going to the soda fountain in Allerton that you've tried to keep alive as well?
Well, of course, the Cherry Coke, but we've been dabbling in a lot of mixtures there, Green Rivers and chocolate Cokes and all kinds of shakes and malts and sodas that we've had a lot of fun working with. And this is all of this is done by volunteers. We have members of our association that take turns opening and so it's a strictly a volunteer arrangement.
So people get to live their fantasy of becoming a soda jerk.
Absolutely, yeah.
That must be a little bit challenging for people, though, to get up to speed and actually serve customers.
Well, it is, but it definitely happens, though. It really is. It's a lot of fun, and it's we're keeping our heads above water financially too.
All right.
We've been blessed with a lot of donations by individual donors. And the alumni are a big part of that. But we've also had grants that have come through the Community Foundation.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Ross Blunt is the president of the board of a nonprofit that oversees what is now called the Old Time Soda Fountain in Allerton. I also have Jane Sutter Brandt with me. She's the author of Sutter's Sodas Satisfy, a memoir of 90 years of Sutter Drug Company. We're going to take a little trip down to Shenandoah when we get back from the break. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about soda fountains in Iowa. I've been talking with Jane Sutter Brandt. She has just written the book, Sutter's Sodas Satisfy, a memoir of 90 years of Sutter Drug Company. And that was a very popular soda fountain in Burlington for many, many years. Also with me, Ross Blunt. He is the president of the board of a nonprofit that oversees what's now called the Old Time Soda Fountain in Allerton. We also want to hear your memories this hour. So if you have memories of soda fountains in Iowa, please share them with us. Talk of Iowa at iowapublicradio.org. And now we're going to go to Shenandoah, where the George J. Drug Company has been in business since 1888. Annie Van Houten is the present day owner of George J. Drug and Hallmark Shop. Hello, Annie. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a... All right, there we go. Hi, Annie. Nice
Hello.
To talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Tell me a little bit about the history of this pharmacy, because as I mentioned, it goes back to 1888.
It does go back to 1888. And also I have with me is the previous owner, Mim Laughlin. And she has a lot of information, too. So she might chime in and help with some of the answers of this pharmacy here. It was started in 1888 by George J. Sr., mm-hmm. and it's been going in operation ever since. We pretty much have maintained everything he started with filling prescriptions and the soda fountain and free delivery service. We deliver to local areas here. And
they follow real ice cream. And
mm-hmm. You know, I'm so sorry. I can't hear both of you. So, Annie, if you could maybe take us off speakerphone and talk into the phone, maybe we can have an opportunity for you to pass the phone across in a moment. But it's important for us to hear as well. So, Annie, you've been at the store for 27 years. Give me a little idea of your history.
Well, I started part-time in January of 1988. And it just developed into a full-time position in the pharmacy. I'm actually an LPN. I'm a nurse. And this is actually what I've grown to love, though. I just love being with the people and the pharmaceutical part of it. So it's been a real adventure for me, too, but it's gone super fast.
Well, and so. I think that this must be a really unusual business in Iowa in that it's still a pharmacy and still a soda fountain.
Yes, we are. We do. Yeah, I mean, it is very rare to have both things going that actually began in 1888. It is very unique, and a lot of longtime customers. I mean, and family generations that just keep coming back here. It's just a big place for people to gather and still continue to do their business. So it's very nice. People are always welcome to come back. They have a lot of reunions and a lot of gatherings here. It's fun.
So what do you think made it possible for this business to continue on when so many other like businesses either had to close or specialize?
I think it is your local service, you know, just the community support, the families, the generations that continue to come back for the service, knowing the different things that we have to offer with the free local delivery and just, I think, longevity. I think the longer, you know, people have known me here for so long and they have grown to know who I am and that we're here to help them always in any situation.
And the soda fountain, you've said it's not a moneymaker for you.
Well, no, it's not a moneymaker. It's more of a break even, have fun kind of thing. You know, it brings in the business, you know. People, like I said, come in and we have a group that comes in the morning and some, and then again in the afternoon, they kind of cycle through for their coffee. And it's especially fun in the summertime because the kids are out of school and this is where they come for their afternoon getaway, besides the swimming pool. But they have a different camps that come through town and we try to help encourage, you know, to help them out. We give them, provide them snacks for their camps.
So it sounds to me like keeping the soda fountain and keeping it functional has really been an act of love and investment in the community as opposed to a business decision.
Yes, yes. People look forward to it. I guess I don't know what else to say about it. It's just, when certain events are going on, I mean, we extend our hours. When Rag Bri came through Shenandoah, we stayed open on Sundays so that people were able to come in and have their last little treat before they left town. And the malts are really the big thing here.
So I was just about to ask you what seems to be the specialty. What do people come in for? So what makes your malt special?
Well, we just use Wild Blue Bunny ice cream and we stick to it. It's the way it mixes. It's kind of a soft blend and the malt powder we put in it and whatever kind of toppings they want. It just has, I don't know, it just has a certain kick that everybody loves.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. You're welcome to join the conversation with your questions, with your memories. We'd love to hear from you this hour. And actually, before we go back to the phones, you can join us at 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we got this email. This is from someone who says, I grew up in Shenandoah and remember well going to Jay's Soda Fountain. When you went in with mom, who was getting a prescription filled, they gave kids a certificate for a free small fountain drink that cost 5 cents. My drink of choice was always a cherry phosphate that came in a little Coke glass, and it really made the wait enjoyable. And Annie, do you hear from a lot of people who have memories like that?
We do. And actually, we did just bring in some small tables to have at the soda fountain, too, and people love that. Yeah, the little round soda fountain tables are up front, too. So we try to make more room for all those little special people that come in.
All right, let's go to the phone. Sarah is on the line from Clear Lake. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi there. And you have a functioning soda fountain in Clear Lake, too?
We do, right on Main Street. We're kind of a little anomaly for a lake town, but it's in a functioning pharmacy, and it's just a little, I think there's like 8 or 10 stools, still like the original chrome, and you can go in for the Green River Fast Dates or whatever you want. So it's one of those things like all the locals know, but when people are here for vacation, they really like going to it as well.
And what makes it a fun place to go to, in your opinion?
Well, you know, it's a block away from the beach, so you can, you know, go to the lake and walk right up, and pretty much anything there you can just walk to, and it's just a small little community thing, and even if you're an out-of-towner, it still feels like you're from this place, so. And it just has the feel, you know, back from the 50s when with all the soda fountains from then, so.
Well, great. Sarah, thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, Jane Sitterbrandt is still with us. And Jane, as you have been doing book appearances and signings and connecting with people from Burlington, people seem to have a really strong emotional connection when they're talking about the soda fountain.
That's absolutely true. And I think it's because it, you know, it harks back to great memories for people, maybe a slower time of life, a time where people sat down and talked face-to-face. They weren't working 24/7. They weren't being distracted by social media. And so, and food, of course, and drink are also great memory enhancers. So on the Facebook pages and in meeting people, so many people talk about the chocolate sodas they remember, the cherry Cokes, the different sandwiches. And a lot of people, they were, you know, as people often go to a Starbucks now regularly or places like that, they would go to the soda fountain and have their coffee break and order maybe the same thing over and over. One of the former soda jerks told me that she had food monikers for different regulars. One of them, a guy who ordered a root beer float all the time, she called him root beer float.
Well, and you have the menu, or one of the menus, I'm sure there were many iterations from Sitter Soda Fountain in your book, and I'm struck kind of by the simplicity of the menu. I mean, there seemed to be a focus on making sure that this was all food that could be prepared really easily and quickly and didn't need a lot of prep time.
Right, absolutely. I mean, it's not fancy food. It's good comfort food. And I loved how we had the names of different sundaes. There was the Sitter's Soother, and that was a chocolate Nabisco cookie with vanilla ice cream and a chocolate syrup. And there was the Rexall Special that was chocolate ice cream and nuts and marshmallow and a cherry. And there was also something, and I don't know who invented this, but called a food. And that was ice cream with nuts and malted milk. I've never heard of another soda fountain serving what was called a food, but a lot of people remember those.
Well, and then right below food on the menu, there's foodettes. Were those just smaller versions?
Yeah, absolutely. They were a smaller version, and I think they left off the nuts.
So when you started working at the soda fountain, had the menu changed very much, or was this the kind of thing where you had to keep the menu the same to make people happy?
I think for the most part, you know, some of these different names, I don't recall, like the Trailway Delight and the Sitter's Soother, but we were definitely still serving the foods and the foodettes, all the different Sundays. And I recently found out that someone in Burlington, when the store closed, they actually bought pieces of the soda fountain, such as the stainless steel where we housed the different ice creams and the different syrups, and he installed that in his rec room in his basement.
Oh my goodness. So some of Sitter's Soda Fountain is still operational, just
yes.
Privately.
Isn't that great?
That's amazing. Well, and the menu also touts that we serve Liggett's famous $50,000 chocolate exclusively. Do you know what that is?
Well, in the research, I found out that that was a Rexall product, and the Sitter stores were all Rexall stores, which is the same as the as what Ross was talking about. And so, you know, a lot of Rexall products, you know, they had different names to it. Liggett's was no longer around when I was working there, as far as I remember, but it certainly sounds very rich to me.
Absolutely. Well, and Ross, at the Allerton Soda Fountain, are there any old names that still stick around with some of the treats that you serve?
Well, I'm not so much. I think it's pretty much just describe it by the items you want to have in it. So Hot Fudge Sundae is pretty clear. No, it's. I think we haven't developed enough of a, you know, a kind of a culture around the soda fountain yet for some of those really rich things to be said about the products.
Right. Well, and do you have the old menus, or did those all disappear too?
They did, and we've developed our own.
Nice. Annie, how about at George J. Drug? Do you have any fun relics from the past on the menu?
We actually have our phosphates and our malts, of course. Any kind of sundae they want. We've got all the extra toppings. People kind of make up their own stuff. And we also have, like, cherry Cokes, chocolate Cokes. Sometimes, and they don't do this very often, but we had something that is called a home style. And that's just the ice cream with the malt powder in that, but it's not all blended. And people like that. It has, like, a little crunch to it. So.
Oh, nice, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody wants one of those, I think.
Yeah, yeah. When the Everly brothers, they grew up here in Shenandoah. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they came back for a reunion. Oh, I think it was in 89 or so, or so, I don't know, somewhere around in there. And they, of course, they made a debut at J Drug because they always like to come in here as children and have the phosphate.
Oh, nice. That's
so
great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I was growing up, my parents would always talk about going to soda fountains, and my mom was a big fan of a cherry phosphate. And then I don't remember what the occasion was, but there was somewhere that was selling authentic cherry phosphates, and I had one, and I thought, really, this is what you've been talking about for all of these years? Do you think that the flavors live up to our memories, Annie?
You know, I think they do. Mm-hmm. I do. I think, I mean, I've had some people that haven't been in here for maybe 50 years and they come back and say things never change. They love it.
So, and Jane, when you're talking to people about Sutter's sodas, what comes up the most when they talk about drinks or foods that they remember?
Well, I recently was talking to Burton Prue. His family has owned Prue Funeral Service for a long time in Burlington. And he mentioned to me how much he missed the limeades. We used to make fresh limeade, fresh lemonade, you know, squeezing those and then adding the simple syrup and the ice, et cetera. And he said a couple of years ago he was in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and ordered a limeade, and he turned to his wife and said, "This is the best limeade. It tastes just like what Sutter's used to make."
Oh, nice.
Yes, and he said he hadn't had a limeade like that since Sutter's closed the soda fountain, so that made me feel really good.
Ross, do you find that people think it tastes just like they remember when they come into the old-time soda fountain in Allerton?
Oh, yes. And I'll be the first one to say yes on that because there's nothing quite like a fountain drink. I mean, it is so much better than bottled or canned. Yeah, it's and people comment on that all the time. Yes.
So, what's your favorite thing to have?
I like Green River. Yeah, I do.
What's a Green River?
Well, it would be lime and lemon, maybe, but in a soda with. You know, with the soda water, yeah. So it looks green, and it tastes good.
And as a volunteer part-time soda jerk, do you have to work hard to get those formulas right so that it tastes like people remember?
No, I think that comes pretty quickly. It really does. And and we have a lot of different ones that volunteer to do this, so we do. Kind of work at getting just the right mixture in there, and it has been successful that way.
Well, Ross, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Well, thank you for having us on. I hope that people, when they're coming this way, will check in and see this place.
All right, Ross Blunt of the Old Time Soda Fountain in Allerton, which is now run by a nonprofit. Annie, thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. That's Annie Van Houten. She's the present-day owner of George J. Drug and Hallmark Shop in Shenandoah. And Jane Sutter Brandt, thank you so much.
This has been a lot of fun. Thank you. I really enjoyed hearing from the other people, too.
All right. Jane Sutter Brandt has just published Sutter's Sodas Satisfy, a memoir of 90 years of Sutter Drug Company in Burlington. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.